Welcome back to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. I'm Desiree Greenhall.
And I'm her husband, Daniel Greenhall.
And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the local church to be faithful members of one another.
And I realized I forgot my mouse.
Awkward.
Yep, I don't know where it is. Our podcast has four segments: who we are, we just did that, what we're doing, what we're learning, and what we're reading. So hopefully you stick around for all the segments, or if you want to, you can jump around. Usually the first segment takes like 10 seconds. We already did it. We already introduced ourselves.
Yep.
But the second one, what we're doing, usually lasts about 5 to 10 minutes. So you can kind of scrub around in there if you want to. By scrub, I mean like through the audio, not like scrub the floors. Or I mean, if you want to scrub the floors and ignore.
People literally might be scrubbing the floors.
They could be. Yep. What we're learning today, we have a special one with Desiree sharing a bit of what she's been reading during what we're learning.
I'm super nervous.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be fine. And then we'll end with what we're reading, which really ties into what we're learning today. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a fun one. I might mess with audio levels throughout, just a fair warning. So if it gets louder at one point and softer at another, that's because I'm figuring this out because we're on a new setup.
Yeah.
How'd you like that segment and what we're doing?
Oh.
That was good.
That's pretty good.
Except I pointed out it was a segue, so... it's not very good anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have a new podcast set. I feel like I mention that every week because I'm making slow tweaks,
mm-hmm.
but we actually have new gear this week.
Yeah. Well, it's all new because last time was mm-hmm. half new.
Yeah. And it was, the end was, I had to edit a lot and I still didn't get it all and I gave up and went to bed and hopefully you didn't hear too bad of an echo. Desiree sounded epic, though, when it echoed weird last week.
Really?
It was pretty funny. Mm. But this week, we're recording on we have a legitimate podcast setup. Like, a podcaster would consider this a podcast setup.
Cool.
So, like, there's two XLR microphones. There's a recorder that can be standalone or plugged into. I have it plugged into a power source, so I'm not blowing through batteries for no reason. And we're each on our own microphone facing each other. It's pretty nice. Looks like we're distancing from one another across
the
table.
It's kind of awkward.
Yeah. I wish we could be a little bit closer, but I'm working on that. We can get some stuff for behind the microphone later or something.
Okay.
To kind of block. And I got to put some sound deadening stuff behind Desiree. So when I speak, you might hear a little bit in her microphone as well, because it's bouncing off the concrete wall behind her. If you know anything about sound, it's not good to have a concrete wall that I'm talking into. But I do, for better or for worse, that's what it is. So that's what we're working with this week. And I got to kind of try to pay attention to everything here.
Yeah.
So, but that's not the only thing we've been doing. I've also been listening to...
oh, stories are soul food. That's not what I was going to say.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to say you've been disc golfing.
Yes, I have been disc golfing. I'll get that out of the way. Not a lot.
Every day?
24, 34. I did 34 holes in one day.
Hmm.
That was quite a few. That's mm-hmm. not even two full rounds, though.
Mm.
That's like less than two full rounds.
Yeah.
And that's probably fewer throws than I'd do if I went out and just did like field work.
That's true.
It's been nice in the warm weather. I was able to get out and play with a buddy. We were able to go to Lions Park here in Altoona. That was pretty nice. It was an open park. I was able to lose my wallet.
Yeah.
Yep. So I got back home, and Desiree and I were gonna leave on a date. We're going to Cheesecake Factory, and we were getting ready to go, and I was like, I should make sure I had my wallet. I was like, oh, I left it in my disc golf bag. So I go out to the car, go to pull it out, and the pocket that I put it in is unzipped and empty. I'm like, oh, no. That's mm-hmm. not going to be good. So I look around for it. I look in the car I took that morning. Couldn't find it anywhere. Looked on the ground. Looked in my pants pocket. Looked everywhere that I'd been in the house. I hadn't been home for that long. I was like, I think it fell out on the course. So Desiree and I leave. Head back to the course.
A fun date.
Yeah. Looking for a wallet. And so we head out there. And we walk all 12 holes there at that park. Nothing. Couldn't find it anywhere. So I'm like, well, maybe I missed it at home. So we come back home and I look around again and I was like, well, I can't find it. We didn't find it on the course. Somebody probably picked it up. I should go ahead and cancel, freeze all my credit cards, freeze all the bank cards, cancel them so that nobody can steal the money at least. Because I'd rather go through the difficulty of getting new cards than like somebody stole money and I have to get new cards. So I got my cards frozen that I could get frozen, and then I had to cancel the cards that I couldn't. And so they were just canceled. And right after I finished doing that, because I got a message.
As soon as you hung up.
Like, as soon as I hung up with the bank, hey, I need to cancel this car. They're like, all right, it's canceled. Hung up. Desiree gets a ding on her phone. Hey, are you Daniel Greenhall's husband?
Wife.
Wife. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I do that all the time. And so she's like, yeah. She's like, did he lose his wallet? She's like, yeah, at Lions Park. And so they were able to get the wallet back to us. And
so we got it back?
Yep. We went back, met him there, unfroze my accounts, and now I can use my credit cards again. And I know to keep my pockets on my bag zipped up now so I don't lose my wallet.
And had our lunch date at 2.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
But it was Cheesecake Factory. There was plenty of food. There was plenty of cheesecake.
It took me 3 tries to finally finish my piece of cheesecake.
It took me 3 tries, and I threw away the rest.
Well, you threw away, like, the frosting.
Yeah,
part.
It was the big cake of frosting, which I'm not a big fan of anyway, so I wasn't too sad about it.
Anyway, we should get back to the stories or soul food, because people are probably curious.
Yeah, so I've been listening to a podcast that a good friend of mine turned me on to called Stories Are Soul Food. I don't completely agree with the title, I don't think, but I'm not opposed to it. Like, is it really just stories in general that feed our soul? Well, that might be a little bit of strong language, but I appreciate a lot of what the podcast is saying, and I definitely get where he's coming from.
It's probably to cause intrigue.
Yeah, and it does. And the cover art is well done, but that's not why people usually listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
The intro music is well done, which, yeah, I'm working on that. Now we have the equipment to do that. But that's not typically why people listen to a podcast. But the content, the main speaker, there's a host. There's two, are they co-hosts? Is that how you would say it?
Yeah.
Because, like, there's one that's, like, providing questions and one that's, like, answering questions.
But if that's just how they have it planned.
Yeah. So co-hosts. But the main, not the main attraction, but the main speaker is N.D. Wilson.
Okay.
That's the name that people would know out of the two. I don't remember the other guy's name. Who's an author of, not, I won't say children's books. They are. But when I think children's books, I think, like, Sophia.
Like,
because
cardboard?
I think of my child. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like not
middle
young
schooler?
Adult either.
Middle schooler.
Yes. They had a name for it that they mentioned today on I think it was Villains and Villainy was the episode where they mentioned like the age group.
Adolescence?
No, it was on the female protagonist episode that they mentioned it.
I have no idea.
But it's like 5th, 6th grade type kids.
Middle schoolers.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. But not like young adult is like once they've bridged into, like, love triangles. Like, oh, he likes her and she likes him. This is before that. This is when you want to get outside and adventure. It's like that age group. 100 Cupboards is a book that he wrote. It was actually a trilogy with a prequel. It's not a 4-part series. It's a trilogy with a prequel. He clarified that.
We haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it.
So we're not recommending it or
correct.
Anything.
Yeah. But the podcast, I've appreciated a lot. The way that he approaches books and encourages people to approach books is very helpful. I'm not going to say it's 100% correct. I'm only 10, 11 episodes in. And there are nuances you could pick apart if you really wanted to argue about things. But on the whole, like I have no problem saying, hey, you should probably go check this podcast out. It's worth a listen at least, to help you get farther down the road on thinking about books and thinking about what are my kids reading? What do I want my kids to read? What should I be reading? How should I be thinking about reading books or even stories in general that they're primarily focused on books? How many episodes have you listened to, Desiree?
2.
Which ones?
Female protagonists.
And Villains and Villainy?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah. So starting at the beginning is helpful. Desiree.
You're talking a long time about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's get to our podcast. Too.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, give that one a listen if you want to. We also did some yard work.
Work. Yep. Got some blisters from raking.
Yep. And we got to meet our neighbors.
Yeah. Some.
Yeah.
All
a little
of
bit.
Them,
but because we're out front, they walked over and introduced themselves and we got to introduce ourselves to them, which brings us around beautifully to what are we talking about today, Desiree?
We're going to do a book review of The Art of Neighboring.
Yeah. By we're going to do a book review, you mean we're going to do a book review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have some questions.
I didn't get much time to prepare because I found out just today that we're going to do it.
Well, we had talked about it before, but I hadn't really settled on what are we actually going to do.
I just, I don't think I'm going to be able to clearly express everything because I haven't really written anything down for
it. Well, that's good that it's going to be a two-parter then, right?
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unless you think you've satisfactorily answered everything today.
Are these questions all for just the first part or what?
Well, the questions that I have listed can be all the first part because the second part I'm going to have finished it by.
Okay.
So we're going to do you chatting a little bit about it.
Okay.
And what you liked, what you didn't like. Here, well, some of the questions we get through today.
Okay.
And if you like, well, I'd have to think about that one a little longer. Then we can come back to that on part two.
Okay.
When I get put under the pressure a little bit.
Yeah, to finish the book?
Yeah. And I get put under pressure to actually answer the questions that I wrote for you. Because sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's easier to just answer questions, but sometimes it's easier to just write the questions and not have to answer them.
Yeah.
I think I do that sometimes when I throw out a question that I want people to think about, that I'm like, hey, here's something to think about. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't actually know how I'd answer this, but it's still worth thinking about.
So. Okay.
Anyway, here are some of the questions. So, did you say the name of the book already?
Yes, The Art of Neighboring. Okay. By Jay Pathak and Dave Runyon.
Yep, we probably are going to butcher those names.
Yep.
Is it Patak?
It's got a TH.
So? Mine has an LGH at the end, but it's Hall.
Oh, yeah, I called our insurance today to change the address. And it's it's the, what do you call it? The automated voice. And I typed in my ID number, mm-hmm. and the voice was like, is the member name Desiree Greenhalk? I'm like, yes. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
That's, yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyway, sorry.
Yep. So it's by those two.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, how did you hear about the book? I feel like that'd be a good intro question.
I'm pretty sure just by Katie Stahlcup.
I think so. Yeah.
I had seen the block exercise from the book on her fridge, and that piqued my interest.
Oh, is that what you drew the other day?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered why you drew that. I'm like, I don't think you came up with that. You're smart enough to, but that doesn't seem like something you'd come up with on the spur of the moment.
But I can talk about that.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure I just saw the book laying around in their house or something, and I picked it up, read the back, and I'm like, oh, this looks really interesting.
And she mentioned it as well on our group chat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Where did we find it?
We found it at Walls of Books in Ankeny.
Yep. I think we've mentioned that before.
So, yeah, it was cheaper than what it would have been new.
Yeah.
It was $4.97.
Oh, got we still have the sticker on it. I didn't realize that. Yeah, so we have a group chat with the Stahlcups. We started this a long time ago, and I find this funny now, especially considering that our topic of conversation this evening and that it's been a recurring topic of conversation. But like a long time ago, we were like, oh, it'd be funny if we could be neighbors with like Katie when she gets married. Or was it even before that?
It was before Katie and Jason were even together.
Yeah.
Then we're like, oh, we'll be future neighbors with Katie. And then Jason came along. We're like, oh, we'll be future neighbors with Katie and Jason. Yeah.
And now we've talked a lot about neighboring on the Future Neighbors group chat, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's how we heard about it. Can you give a 1-3 sentence summary of the book? Not necessarily like here's the main answer in the book. It could be here's the main question posed in the book, or if there's not a question, here's his main like thesis statement or the general idea.
Well, I would. It's not solely a guide on how to be a good neighbor.
The bee lights up.
Does it?
Sorry, guys. Yeah, so our new microphones, they look like bumblebees. On the back, there's a little bumblebee symbol, and it's lit up.
Oh, cute.
Sorry. Okay, back on topic.
It's not a book solely on how to be a good neighbor, but more of you're commanded to neighbor. You should do well at it. Basically. And there are tips. There are little tips and tricks here and there. He has lots of stories throughout of people and their experiences with their neighbors and what they did that was good or wrong or whatever.
But so it's like a, hey, you actually need to do this. And here are some ways that that could look in real life, maybe.
Right. But more of like, here are some principles as you go. Not just a detailed list of do this, this, this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That makes sense. Okay. So here's another question I didn't have written down. How does that, or rather, let me phrase it this way. Why would we bother doing a book review on this book on a podcast called Everyday Ecclesiology? Because we have a segment called What We're Reading. So we could review any book because it's something we're reading. But why is this the main topic of discussion on a podcast called Everyday Ecclesiology?
Well,
or do you want me to phrase it another way, or you got it?
I was already coming up with an answer.
Okay, let me phrase it another way while you think more about your answer, just in case.
Oh, dear.
No, your answer is probably fine, but I just like giving you plenty of time because I just not spawned you with it. I jumped you with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I surprised you with it. Or put another way, what does a book like The Art of Neighboring have to do with being a faithful layman in the local church?
Well, the church is to edify believers.
The church is made up of
Of believers.
Okay.
Yep. But we're also encouraged to go out and evangelize.
Yes.
Like, that's part of the church, like, encouraging each other. Hey, yeah. Reach others with the gospel.
So we've mentioned before that the point of the gathering of the body is to edify the body.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we just dismiss the Great Commission to go out and share the gospel with unbelievers and make disciples of all nations. We don't dismiss the making disciples of people that don't believe yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this book comes in, right? Making disciples of unbelievers? Getting to know unbelievers?
They actually state, don't, like, bring cookies to your neighbors and introduce yourselves with, like, kind of like when, I'm really bad at history, but when people wanted to go to Africa or whatever and, like, strictly make them Christian.
Okay.
That's not what our goal is.
Okay.
We are to love our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And through doing that, yeah, the gospel will come into play. Find those open doors. Don't not evangelize them, but don't have the wrong reason to love them.
Okay.
Just love them because we're commanded to love our neighbors.
Yeah. And so, even just day in and day out, consistently showing love to your neighbors can be an open door to the gospel.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they went against the what would Jesus do, only act the gospel, don't ever say anything about it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not what we're espousing here, is that, oh, you share the gospel without words. We're not saying
right.
that. We're not saying that people will just see your good works and immediately know that, oh, Christ died for my sins. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
There still has to be a preacher sharing the gospel, or someone sharing the gospel, like the actual, this is what you need, this is what Christ did. I've expressed, we've gone through what is the gospel before. You're not going to get that just by looking at someone going, oh, they're loving. I guess that means that I'm a sinner and Christ died for my sins. So that's not what they're espousing, but they are saying
that. At least
that,
I don't think so. I have a tendency to like put my beliefs into something when I'm reading it.
That's true. I don't.
I
guess I'll find out when I read it, but we're not espousing that.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So when we read that, or if we recommend for you to read that, which we'll get to later, whether or not we recommend it, then read it through. Well, there might be things in here you don't agree with, but on the whole, we think it'd be helpful if we do recommend it.
But yeah, overall, the book is like, the official art of neighboring is loving your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. So. And what does that look like? And are we commanded to do so? Okay, so that was more than 1 to 3 sentences. Does the author anywhere give like a thesis statement or like a summary, either near the beginning or near the end, just a quick like, hey, here's what we want to hit on in the book?
I think so.
Okay.
I could just read the back of the book.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
I don't think we'll get any copyright strikes or anything. We're not making money off of it, so should be fine.
What if Jesus meant that we should love our actual neighbors?
Love our actual neighbors?
Yeah.
Man, sounds like something Katie said before.
Actually, that reminds me of a part in the book that I really liked was...
You're
him.
Jumping ahead. You want to jump to that question?
What?
I liked.
Oh, let me just keep reading the back of the book then. When Jesus was asked to sum up everything into one command, he said to love God with everything we have and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Most of us have turned this simple idea of loving our neighbors into a nice saying, putting it on bumper stickers and refrigerator magnets, and then going on with our lives without actually putting it into practice. What would happen if every follower of Jesus took the Great Commandment literally? Is it possible that the solution to our society's biggest issues has been right under our noses for the past 2,000 years? So,
that's the end of the back?
Yep.
What is that called?
The Romance.
Isn't that on food, though? Is that on here, too?
Oh. Actually, never mind.
Yeah, because The Romance is like
on like cereal.
Or on...
Our great-grandma and grandpa made these Wheaties.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called on the back of a book. I should Google it, but I'll Google it later.
I feel like it's a simple answer.
Probably. A summary.
Yeah.
A taste test. A snippet.
Anyway, what's the next question?
Well, I asked, was there a favorite chapter or was there a section that was most influential? What did you say? You said there was something you started reading and it reminded you of something. I should have just let you go ahead.
That we should love our actual neighbors. Mm-hmm. Because when a lot of people say, love your neighbor as yourself, you're thinking the Samaritan story, the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And so, Samaritan. Sorry, got to pronounce it right. But when you say, oh, you should love your neighbors as yourself, you think, oh, anyone who is like, I come into contact mm-hmm. with is my neighbor. I should love them. Okay, that's true.
And because Jesus did broaden us to think about, well, maybe think outside the box and understand that anyone you come into contact with is your neighbor. But he didn't eliminate what people were already thinking of at that time. He broadened.
Right.
And a lot of times we forget where he broadened that from.
Yeah, and because we think of the broad, we tend to not actually put it into action because we're like, oh yeah, I'm loving my neighbor. I said hi to the cashier. But loving your neighbor is actually going to take some work to show that love.
Yeah.
And so don't just, oh yeah, love your neighbors yourself. Actually do something about it, mm-hmm. which is what we're commanded.
And it's super hard to get to know your actual neighbors for one reason that I can think of, because they see when you mess up. Like, if Desiree and I were always having, like, loud knockdown dragouts, then it would be awful if our neighbors knew that we were Christians and we had gotten to know them, and then they're like, oh, they're acting like that. So now that we want to get to know our neighbors, once we've gotten to that point, we've already met a couple, and they know we're Christians, well then, oh man, we gotta actually behave like Christians all the time, because if we don't, they will notice.
Yeah.
Just like kids noticing. They'll notice just about as much. You look like you're in a daze.
Well, I'm just trying to think of what we would possibly do outside that would make them think we're not Christians.
If I sat around sipping sweet tea while you did all the yard work.
But that's the problem, is because I love doing the yard work.
Well, yeah, but if I'm just not even taking care of Sophia while you do the yard work, yeah. And I'm just a lazy bum all the time, or if I never take care of the house, which there could be other reasons for not taking care of a house, but if I don't take care of anything, and if they never see us outside doing anything with the kids, and I don't know.
Okay.
But that was, what question did you answer?
Well, I answered E, but D would be a different answer.
Okay, was there a favorite chapter you had? I'll ask the question. And if you did have a favorite chapter, tell me the title and tell me why it was your favorite chapter.
Okay. My favorite chapter was chapter 9.
Oh, yeah, I like 9.
The number 9?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. After Sophia's baths, I turn on the YouTube channel Little Baby Bum, because that's when I clip Sophia's nails, and it's helpful to have her distracted. And it's funny that you say you like number 9, because one of the songs was all about 9 and how cool it was, the number 9. And that just brought it to mind. Okay.
Before you start, can I have the water cup?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thanks. Your cool cup. Okay. Favorite chapter and why?
Okay. Chapter 9. It's called The Art of Setting Boundaries. And that was my favorite because it was something that I felt I needed to hear the most. I really struggle with feeling guilty if I don't do something I think I should have done, even though I'm not actually guilty.
Can you tell me what he means by setting boundaries? And does he mean like, well, who's doing the setting and what are the boundaries?
You and I, with the goal of loving our neighbors, need to also know how to set boundaries.
What kind of boundaries? How much love we show?
Here's an example. Okay. Here's an example. One guy had a neighbor that called his wife and said, hey, I'm at work. My daughter missed the bus. Can you drive her to school? And the wife was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to do that for you, because she was available. Mm-hmm. So she packed up her two kids and picked up the teenage daughter and drove her to school. And then the next week something happened and the daughter needed driven somewhere again, and the wife's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And she packed up her two little kids, mm-hmm. they skipped their nap, and she did it again. And this happened a few more times, and the wife and the husband had to sit down, and they're like, okay, this is a way to love our neighbor, but we can't do this. This isn't enabling them. This is kind of Like, we don't want to be their crutch,
yeah,
type of thing. So how can we still show love, but we also need to set the boundaries? Because just because they're our neighbors and we are to love them doesn't mean we need to do everything for them.
It kind of seems like, now this may be a terrible analogy, but it kind of seems like when I'm playing disc golf, and you knew this is, okay. There was going to be a disc golf analogy somewhere. Or take any sport you want where, actually not any sport because it doesn't work, but in disc golf, let's say I get up to the step up to the tee and throw my first shot, and mm-hmm. it's just abysmal. I smack the first tree, it bounces back and lands behind the tee pad. Like, it's bad, okay? And then I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go with that. I'm just going to throw another shot. And I throw another shot, and it's perfect, all right? It's like mm-hmm. parked right into the basket, tap in, birdie. It's great. Go to the next hole, yank this one off to the right, almost hit a kid in the head. I'm like, oh, I got to throw another one. The second shot goes pretty well, lands pretty close to the basket, tap it in. Get to the third tee pad, throw a good shot. Fourth tee pad, rip it, release it way early, just flies up and gets stuck in a tree. I'm like, oh, I got to throw another one. Well, by the end of the round, if I keep throwing two, my first shots are always going to be terrible because I know I have a second one to take care of it.
Mm.
I know that there's something else there that I can go to if this first one messes up. So I don't even think about the first one and then I focus for the second one. It's not the same, but it's similar because if they know that, like, oh, well, if she doesn't make the bus, it's not that big a deal. Our neighbor can just take her. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then eventually that starts to become routine, which doesn't mean that's always the right thing to do. But in situations like that, it might be better to be like, maybe I'll just take out that second shot. Like in disc golf, I just have to say, no, I'm going to play from this first shot and I'm going to take my time next time before my first shot. And if my first shot messes up every time, then I'm going to learn how to scramble. I'm going to learn how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So there is a time to say, hey, maybe you need to learn how to deal with this because I'd love to help you, but I don't think this is actually helpful at this point.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And he shared tips on creative ways to help a neighbor. Yeah. So
it's not like you're going to be like, don't just hand them the money.
Yep. Give them numbers to people that can hire them for a job, mm-hmm. type of thing.
Yeah. So, things like that. That makes sense.
And that was helpful because I tend to feel guilty if I can't always do what seems obvious. Yeah. So that was super helpful.
That's a good chapter to put in there. That makes sense. Chapter 9. All right. Was there a section, whether it be a sentence, a thought, a paragraph, a chapter, whatever, that was most influential or helpful? I asked about a favorite chapter. Now I'm asking about most influential. If they're the same, then that's okay. But this doesn't have to be a chapter.
Same.
Okay. What, if anything, which sounds like there's a lot, did you appreciate about the book? And why did you appreciate that?
I always like lots of examples.
Mm.
Those are always
You were the person in math that I always hated.
What?
So in math class, especially in geometry, right? Especially mm-hmm. when we're going through proofs in geometry, which don't get me wrong, I love proofs in geometry. If Brenna Capon listens, if you know Brenna Capon, you know that proofs in geometry are important because they teach you to use rules of logic and they teach you to understand why a thing is the way it is and how to look at other examples to prove a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for example, when we're in proofs in geometry and then we go through and a proof might take quite a while.
Yeah.
Because you have to put a lot of things in order mm-hmm. and you have to mark down every single thing. And I hated that, but I understand why it was important. And then we finally get through this proof, okay? And it would mm-hmm. take like 10 minutes because she's explaining to the class how to do it. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, can we do another example? So then instead of having 10 more minutes to work on homework, oh, yeah, we can do another example.
Homework? I thought it was supposed to be done at home.
Yeah, but if I can get it done in class, I would much rather do other things when I'm at home, like other work, like other homework that's not from school.
Oh,
okay. So then we take 10 more minutes and go through another example.
Mm,
and then somebody's
proofs.
Like, oh, I don't understand this still because I don't know how logic works. Okay, let's go through another example. And so then the class period is gone because I got it after the first one, but I have to sit there and I can't work on homework. And I have to drill into my head the same thing.
I'm like, I liked proofs. I know how to do this. Is that because they are logic?
Probably.
I think I'm a very logical person.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, Desiree.
Why are you laughing at me like that?
I'm tempted to use my sound pad here.
Why?
I have fun sound pads that I could use.
Oh, the clapping hands.
Yeah, I have the clapping hands. I have the set. Actually, what's this one? Oh, it was a rim shot. I forgot about that one. I have the...
Is that actually going on a recording?
Yeah, it's on a recording.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, because then I can, whenever you say something great, I can be like...
Okay. Oh, Okay.
Just hold down the applause.
What's
that's
the
great.
Next question?
Okay. Well, actually, that's going to be it.
Oh.
We're at 29 minutes.
What? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, we got to get to what we're reading because it's been a lot.
So we didn't even say... we didn't even say whether we'd recommend it. I haven't finished and haven't had to answer all these questions, which hopefully I'll have some different answers from Desiree. Not on like I disagreed with things. I don't think I will. But like what was the most helpful part to me? That chapter will probably be helpful for me. But I'll try to pick out another one and why I thought it was
helpful. There's quite a few helpful chapters, so it shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah. You didn't even get to your diagram.
Oh, I didn't. I guess I'll do that next time,
too. Let me
add
that into the notes here so I don't forget for next time. What is it called? The block diagram?
Yeah, I think so.
Thingy. I don't know exactly what that is. All right. So what are we reading? I put down first bullet point. It was a bad reading week.
Yeah.
Me. I don't know what you read. I read a lot of books to Sophia.
You did.
Which is helpful. It is good to sit down and read with my daughter, even if she doesn't really understand it all. She's learning to turn pages. She's learning to pull things. And she's learning to sit in dad's lap while he reads. So we're getting there. But as far as like personal reading, we haven't read any in Narnia. We're hoping to get like the series finished. And we just got to sit down and get the reading done.
I think we're out of habit.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Since we moved, we just haven't gotten back in the habit. And we need to just force ourselves to do one chapter a night, one chapter a night, one chapter a night. And then once we start reading one chapter a night, we'll want to read three again.
Yeah.
It'll happen. We just got to get there. And now that I've listened to Stories or Soul Food, I am looking forward to picking a couple more books now that we're done with the easy reading in Narnia.
Hmm. Okay. So,
but we're not done with Narnia. We're going to finish that up. I did read another chapter in Caring for One Another by Ed Welch. I think I mentioned that last week. That's one we're going through in our small groups at church. If you're in our church, you know that. If you're not in our church, now you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only like 5 pages. So Desiree obviously finished The Art of Neighboring. I think I mentioned that last week.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know if I had it finished last week.
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure. Oh, either way, it's done now.
Yep.
And we still haven't finished Magician's Nephew. So hopefully there'll be some more reading for next week. We have a little bit of a plan in place to where we can help boost our reading a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the podcast is Whet My Appetite, WHET, Whet. Look it up.
Ever since I questioned you on whether your spelling was appropriate, you always spell it out every time you use it.
Do you know why? Because I had spelled it the other way right before I had said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked it up because I was like, that looks a little funny. And then I knew that just for when you'd asked me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known that. Mm. So now I'm like, gotta make sure people know this. Gotta teach them their grammar. There was another word that I was going to teach people, but I don't remember what it was. LOL. That'll be it for this week.
And did you just say LOL?
I said, oh, well.
Oh.
It sounded like LOL, though. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Hopefully, this audio was a little bit better and continues to be. I will continue to work on it, and I'll try not to mention it every week, because otherwise you'll notice every little thing that changes. But I'll listen back to them, and hopefully it'll be edifying nonetheless. So until next time, keep serving or start serving within your local church. Bye.
Bye.